We'd better get into our mayoral whip around this morning. We will begin in Moyneshire with Councillor Jim Dukas, who is, of course, the mayor there. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Now, in our news yesterday, we were reporting that VCAT have overturned a council decision relating to the potential wind farm development at Warndoo north of Mortlake, and you were quoted in our news yesterday as saying that you were disappointed by that decision. What's your understanding of why VCAT have overturned the council decision and allowed that development to proceed?
Well, I've got no idea why VCAT would do it. The council's case was very strong. The permit was originally issued in 2008, and after VCAT's decision, I've got till 2015 to finish it, so it might have been 2007, so there's 7 or 8 years for a permit to actually get up and going, and up to this time, there's been very little action by the proponents, and with these new rules and regulations, we would have thought that they should reapply with a new permit, but VCAT thought differently, and even with a number of conditions yet to be finalised and permits, etc., it just doesn't make logical sense. But then again, I'm not a VCAT member, so how am I to say what goes on?
Because as the rules surrounding wind farm developments have certainly changed over that time. So are they your main concerns, that the rules have changed, or are there other issues perhaps surrounding this as
there
well?
There are other issues. I mean, one is the rules that have changed, but to get a permit up and going, there are a lot of conditions that have to be adhered to. The main ones that we have concerned with are traffic management plans, heritage conditions, environmental conditions, but they've all got to be submitted to the council and approved, not just submitted, but they have to be approved, and if they're not satisfactory, they have to resubmit, do some more work, etc., and there's a lot of these were outstanding, and considering the amount of time they've had to do them and nothing's been done, then we would have thought that it should have been refused the way we refused it, and a new application made. Plus the fact that we were told it was depending on whether Dundonald, which is another application yet to be received by the proponents, one's depending on the other. Well, all of a sudden it's not depending on the other, which is rather strange. But then again,
that's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
Is there anything that council can do from here? Will you be taking it any further, or do you just have to accept that decision now and let it happen?
No, we don't have a choice here. We can we'll just have to accept the decision, but we'll be waiting for these different reports to come in and to be assessed. And I think they've got till the 15th of March this year, so they've got to get a bit of a move on, and some works have to commence. And the definition of commencement is yet to be determined. I mean, is commencement putting in 50 metres worth of road and a couple of gates and a side hut, or are they really going to do any work? Because to date, New End don't build wind farms. We've been told publicly that they're not in the business of constructing them, just obtaining permits and then selling them for a profit.
Right, I see. So a few questions still to be answered there.
Definitely.
There's also been some concern about the Kelly Swamp section of the rail trail. Some local residents there have been worried about drainage in the area, and you've had a couple of meetings, I understand, and indeed a workshop yesterday as well. What happened at the workshop yesterday?
We were briefed on what's happened to date, and we actually went out and had an on-sider, which is the third one I've had. I can inform those that are listening to your show that the council has decided to stop work until further notice. There are some real serious issues. The CMA have got some questions to answer in relation to the so-called levee or the track that goes across that the boardwalk's built on. Why no one would consult with the local landowners, I don't know. I mean, we, the council, didn't even know that what was going on. I would have thought that the alteration to the original route and boardwalk would have come to councillors first. Then, once we knew about it, you know, we've got a good record on consulting with the locals, but none of that's happened, and now we've got a disaster on our hands. And if what the locals are saying is correct, or even if it's 80% right, there's going to be some real serious flooding issues, and it could even impact on South Warrnambool and the low-lying areas in Merivale. So I think it's time the City of Warrnambool have a look at it as well.
So the issues were that the culverts that were there weren't going to be enough to cope with potential flooding, and so that looks like that's now advice which you're accepting?
Yes, if you go and have a look, it's rather obvious that the culverts can't handle it. Plus, the levee that's been built, well, that's what we call a levee, but the track that's been built across the swamp is a lot wider and a lot higher than the original one was there. So it'll hold water back coming up from the Merai River. So if it can't get across that levee, it's got to go somewhere else, which will be the low-lying areas in Warrnambool. And once it floods and goes over that, it can't then drain back because there's not enough culvert. So we'll end up with a permanent lake a lot bigger than what used to be there. So the farmers that used to use that area when it all dried out for, you know, summer pasture, they're going to have a permanent lake on their property all year round.
Mm. So you mentioned work has stopped there. So where are things up to exactly, and what will happen from here?
Well, we're going to get more advice from the, I shouldn't say the word advice, get some information from the CMA to find out why they approved the permit the way they did and the heights, etc. There's some dispute over the height of the track or the levee as it is at the moment compared to the old one and how much water it can hold back. And there's some issues with the culverts too because of their size. There's only three there.
Mm.
And we heard yesterday that there's a fishing license on those waters too. So it's a tributary of the Merai River. So all of a sudden a gentleman shows up and said he's got a license to, I believe it's to fish eels. And there's certain conditions associated with that license to make sure that there's no interference with that and the water flow, etc.
Hmm.
So it's all falling down around our ears, unfortunately.
All right, a fair bit to work through there. Councillor Jim Dukas, thanks for your time this morning. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Let's talk now to Councillor Gilbert Wilson, Mayor of Glenelgshire. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Now, you've got, the grace period for the Asset Protection Plan in Glenelgshire is coming to an end, and you will be starting to issue fines shortly, I understand. I might just get you to briefly explain for us, though, your Asset Protection Plan, cover and how that affects people, or what that's designed to protect.
Yes, Jeremy. The Asset Protection Permits were officially introduced in September for our shire, and owners and builders are required to obtain a $100 permit before beginning works and providing a refundable $750 bond, which is returned after the works are completed without any damage to council assets. Now, we're talking about roads, footpaths, street trees and stormwater pits. Now, this new process brings the Glenelgshire into line with other local government areas with the permits aimed at protecting our council infrastructure assets and surrounding environments during the building construction works.
So up till now you've been had a grace period, have you, just so people can familiarise themselves with how this works?
We've allowed a 6-month grace period to ease residents into the new process, and accompanied by an education campaign with media articles and information packages that went out to the builders, the private surveyors, etc. And it's also been available, this information, on the council's website.
All right, so people should have had time to familiarise themselves with that, and if not, then they can expect a fine possibly in the near future.
That's correct.
All right. Now, you've got a couple of holiday things going on as well, still including a bus trip coming up next week, I think. Some local kids will be heading off to Melbourne for some circus-style fun next Monday.
Yes, next Monday. A bus trip has been planned for young people aged from 12 to 17 years of age, and this is to attend their choice of either a session at Ramp Fest Indoor Skate Facility or the Flying Trapeze School in Melbourne.
Right.
Now, the bus will pick up at Caston, Haywood and Portland. It's a $30 fee for each participant, and that includes the transport and entry into the chosen activities. Their meals will be at their own expense. And we're encouraging the youth to get on board, so to speak, to come along, have a good time. Now, they will have to register, and and also have their permits. Their parents sign a consent form. That gives us all the legal coverages. Now, these forms are available for download at the Glenelgshire Council website or go to a service centre.
All right. And still a few places on that bus as well, so people can take advantage of that and hopefully have a bit of fun next Monday.
There certainly is.
All right. Councillor Gilbert Wilson, thanks again. We'll look forward to talking with you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Jim. Jeremy.
Councillor Gilbert Wilson, Mayor of Glenelg, and we'll finish this morning in Southern Grampianshire with Councillor Bob Penny, who is, of course, the Mayor there. Good morning to you.
Hello, Jeremy.
Now, your events calendar for the first half of 2012 is out, so if people would like some ideas about things going on around the place, they should grab hold of one of those.
Most certainly. Council recognises the important role events play in the community, and the events assist with attracting new visitors and enhancing community spirit and raising the profile of the region while delivering economic benefits. And for example, in January, there's 8 events listed. For example, one is the Matthews Petroleum Hamilton Patient Cup at the Hamilton Harness Track this Saturday night. Very large event. And Billy Brandless from Geelong Football Club will be the guest of honour. In the February, there's 9 events. And in March, there's 17 events.
So a busy time coming up in
the Rotary Club Harvest on the Hill Market, the World's Longest Lunch, the Cuisine, the Opera at the Hamilton College, and the list goes on. So people are very much encouraged to seek a copy of the calendar because there's much happening in the Shire.
Indeed. Now, your municipal fire plan is also out for public comment at the moment. Just briefly, what does that plan cover? And you're, of course, seeking comment from people, interested people in the area?
Well, the fire plan is developed by member agencies, all the emergency services and human service department in conjunction with the council, and it outlines how the council and the fire agencies and other relevant authorities and organisations, how they work together to prepare for, respond to and recover from bushfires. And of course, the Southern Grampian Shire is in a bushfire risk area, so it's very important that people seek a copy of the plan. It is quite extensive, about 70 plus pages, but they can download that from the council website, and they can also get hard copies, and we are inviting people to go through that plan and give us any information which they may feel important that we haven't mentioned.
All right, Councillor Bob Penny, sorry to squeeze you a bit this morning, but we'll catch up with you again next Wednesday morning.
That's okay. Thanks, Jeremy.